Well, let's go back to the outline for the evening meeting. Before we go on, I hope that you can really see that God's building is really progressive. From the building of Eve, which in a way is quite simple, because Eve was built out of that little piece of rib. Not very complicated. It was taken out of Adam's side. And we all have to be impressed with that. Please never forget this wonderful vision. The building of God's church is very exclusive, meaning to say that it can only come out of the life of Christ himself. Without that rib, it is impossible for God to build Eve as the counterpart, as the body of Adam, as the bride of Adam. So today, we need to hold on to this principle. In order to build the church, we cannot use anything else but the life of Christ. And this life is the very person of our Lord himself. Remember again what Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." Christ is everything. In the new man, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, "And this new man, Christ, is all and in all." There's no room for anything else. This is how exclusive we are. We are exclusive not because we are narrow in our heart. No, we are not narrow. We love all the sinners. But we are exclusive in that God would not allow us to use any other means to build his bride. Remember this. Consider the vision of how Eve was built. Please don't forget this wonderful vision. Today, people are very presumptuous. They use a lot of ways and methods, human ways and methods. Of course, you can build up something, but you have to remember, whatever you may build may be just a gorilla in God's eyes, or even a monkey, worse, it may be a tiger or a croc. You know, the croc is a crocodile. If you don't believe me, one day when the Lord comes back, you will see what the Lord will say before the judgment seat. So, remember that today, in order to build up God's church, which is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Remember the story of Eve, how Eve was built. Okay? Don't forget that. That was a very simple way, in a sense, out of that rib. Then we go on to see the building of the ark. Let us go to Genesis chapter 6. The building of the ark is a little bit more complicated. It's not as simple as the building of Eve. At least, not as simple in the description. In verse 13, "And God said to Noah," remember Noah in verse 8, "Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord," in verse 8. This is the genealogy of Noah, verse 9. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, or blameless, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God, a wonderful person. You know, many times God doesn't just use anybody. I heard somebody said that in every age, God only used one man. And so starting with Noah, God only used one man, Noah. Actually, the principle is not that God only used one man. Unfortunately, God could only find that one man because nobody else was like Noah. The lessons we need to learn from this is not that God in every age only used one man. This is definitely wrong, absolutely wrong. What we need to see is the kind of man that God would use to build the ark. God didn't use Noah because Noah was a very good carpenter. He was a good builder. Oh, that was his profession. I don't think that was Noah's profession. It didn't say. It just said Noah was a good carpenter. Is it? What did it say? He was a righteous man. You know, you may be a very good carpenter, but you're not very righteous. You think God would use you? What do you think, Peter? Would God use a great builder, a wonderful carpenter, but he's not righteous and not just? So what kind of a person would God use? A capable man? Gifted men. Suppose you're going to build an ark. What kind of a man would you choose? George. He gave an answer without an answer. His silence means that he's going to use a great carpenter. Because he would not choose a righteous man to build something for you, right? But you know, God didn't choose Noah because he was a great carpenter. Because he was a just man. Praise the Lord. He was a righteous person. I have seen many gifted people, but they are not righteous. I have seen brothers in the church who would use people that are fallen and corrupted just because that person is gifted. So what is the result? The result was chaos. Shameful. And the work of God was fully destroyed. Just because you choose somebody who may be capable of carrying out what you want to do, but he's not righteous. But he's unholy. So, you need to realize something. This is another principle that we need to learn. Don't just interpret the Bible in any way you like. You know, like, well, what we have heard, God in every age only used one man. No, no, baloney. This is not right. This is not the way you understand here. God had no choice because there is only one that he could find that is righteous at the time of Noah. But what we need to really learn is that what kind of a person would God choose to to do his work. You know, God will not choose a capable man because God doesn't need a capable man. He is the capable man.
Amen.
And if you are very capable, you know what? You're in trouble because you don't need God anymore. You will do everything yourself. You will tell God, just remain on your throne there and let me do the job. And what kind of a job will come out of your work? Unrighteous. Exactly. So, praise the Lord. From here we can really see that God needs a righteous man, perfect in his generation. That means blameless in his generation. Not before God's eyes. Before God's eyes, no one is perfect. But before his generation, he is perfect. And then he walked with God. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. It is really wonderful to be a person who walked with God. We have talked about that. But tonight, you need to realize, in order to build the ark, God needs such a person. Or, I should say, need such kind of person. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me," verse 13. "For the earth is filled with violence through them." Well, today the earth is filled with violence. Mm-hmm. Don't you think so? Right. You know, I'm afraid to read the paper anymore. And the news, if you read the news, is there any good news? Now, what do you read in the news? Shooting here and killing there. So many violence everywhere. Somebody pushed somebody in the subway there. For no good reason. So much violence. Killing and wars. Fighting everywhere today. There is no end to it. "And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Judgment day. Don't think there's not going to be a judgment. There will be a judgment. "And remember the Lord's warning," right? "As in the days of Noah, so will be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man." So, what should Noah do? Make yourself an ark. Not a boat. Not a boat. It's what is the difference between an ark and a ship? Tell me. What's the difference? Maybe you never thought about it. An ark is just like a box, a square box. It is not made for cruise. If God wants Noah to go for a cruise, he wouldn't ask him to build an ark, okay? Because the ark is not going anywhere. It's just good for floating. Not good for sailing. You like to sail. I know you like to sail. Don't you? Right. You like to surf. You like to sail. And you like to... Wow. Right? But this ark is not for you to have fun in. It is for the salvation of Noah, not for Noah to have a cruise. So if God wants Noah to have a cruise to go to North America from where he was, he would ask Noah to build a ship. But he told Noah to build an ark. So So what are we building here? Are we building something that's full of fun? Are you here for fun? Doesn't mean that we are not happy here. We are very happy here. Do I look happy? I look happy, right? But you have to realize that that ark is not for you to go anywhere, but it is for your salvation, for the salvation of Noah and his family, and for the salvation of the whole creation with Noah and his family. It's not a ship. Praise the Lord for that. So today, in the church life, don't expect anything. The church life is a real salvation for all of us. Now, in the building of Eve, we see that there is that piece, what? Rib. Very simple. Something that comes absolutely out of Adam. So Adam could say, Eve is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. She is fully corresponding, comparable to Adam. The same in life and nature. Wonderful. Only such an Eve could qualify to be the bride of Adam. Now, what about the building of the ark? What are you going to use to build the ark? Cardboard? You're going to use cardboard? Or are you going to use plywood? You know, in China, I heard that some people make shoes, they're the shoe factory, and in order to cheat, they use cardboard for the sole of your shoes. So it looks very good and light. But when it rains and it's wet everywhere, and you walk in the water and go home, that's the end of your shoes. You can't wear it again. And it's very cheap. Of course it should be cheap. It's made of cardboard. What do you think? Do you know how long that ark stayed in water? Exactly 1 year. Read carefully. Exactly 1 year. So, that ark was floating there on water for 1 year. If you use cardboard, after 1 week, after 1 day, you're going to sink. And if you use plywood, it's going to warp. And it's going to rot. And if you use pressed wood, you're in trouble. You cannot just use any kind of wood. So God told Noah to use a certain kind of wood that's not corruptible through water and not corruptible through any kinds of a worm. Just incorruptible. And that wood signifies the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only righteous one that could withstand God's judgment. Our humanity is full of corruption. It cannot withstand God's judgment. Not possible. Not possible. You think you can stand before the judgment seat without Christ being your righteousness? In Philippians, Paul said he didn't want to be found in his own righteousness, but in the righteousness which comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says Christ is our righteousness. Only that righteousness can stand God's judgment. So when The judgment came. The flood came. If you build that ark with wood from your guitar, it's good for making guitar. But it's not good for making the ark. Definitely not good. So, what kind of wood are you going to use to build the ark? So you have to realize that through death and resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ created a what? A new man. A new kind of humanity. A new race. And that race is a heavenly race. The humanity of which is just the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The old man cannot be used to build the ark. So again, you can see how exclusive this building is. Now, in Adam, his salvation was only a jacket. A jacket, which is very good for keeping you warm, or sunshine, or when the rain comes, it's very good. Right? But you know, this jacket is not very good for flood. You think your jacket can save you from flood? I don't think so. Then with Abel, you can see a lamb, which is also very good for your personal salvation. It is very good. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is our sin offering, which is very good. But now, for this judgment, for salvation, to be saved from this world and from so many things, from yourself, from your flesh, in your daily living, we have seen that we need something more. Praise the Lord. We need the ark. So now, in building this ark, according to our experience, to be saved day by day in your daily living, the precious blood is not enough. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's enough to cleanse you from your sins, but to save you in your daily living, you need a new humanity. You need the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, your marriage is not going to work. Otherwise, there will be so much problems and trouble in your daily living. So here we can really see that the material that is really needed to build this ark is a special gopher wood. Praise the Lord. Where are you going to get that wood? Gopher tree? Or who is a gopher tree? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. His humanity. So day by day you have to learn to say, Lord, replace my humanity with your humanity. You know, according to the Bible, the real eating is to eat the bread of life from heaven. You know, that bread of life is the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord says, my flesh is the real food indeed. People say, oh, I'm not a cannibal. How can I eat this man's flesh? Are you a cannibal? They didn't understand what the Lord is trying to say. What the Lord is trying to say is his new humanity. That is why, brothers, today I don't want to judge according to my concept and my standard. No. I need a new humanity. The humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ is perfect humanity. He's not only righteous, but he's merciful. Many times you are in yourself, you think I'm right, but you're not merciful. Besides, you are not really right. You only thought you were right. You're right according to your standard. You know, that kind of righteousness caused you to be self-righteous. And at the end, you'll be fighting with anybody and say, hey, oh, why are you like this? I'm right, you're wrong. And that kind of righteousness does not have any mercy in it. You know, the Lord's mercy many times exceeds his righteousness. Don't you think so? If God is only righteous and not merciful, you are in deep trouble. Today, in my own fallen humanity, I'm so righteous, found in my righteousness, by the end I'll be condemning you, and you in your righteousness, you'll be condemning me, and then we'll be fighting. And where is the love? And where is the patience? Where is the long suffering? Why are there so many family problems? We need a new humanity. And the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 7, he is able to save us to the uttermost. You're saved, but not yet to the uttermost. So to build this ark, the single unique material that you need is the gopher wood. Because only that kind of wood can stand the judgment long term. Not just one day, not just one week, not just one month, one whole year. And you're soaked in water there. You think you can stand that? Oh, Lord Jesus. And many times we don't think about it. We don't consider a little bit more concerning what the Lord is trying to tell us. Okay? Anyway, we don't have that much time. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. And make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. You know, the word cover and the word pitch is in Hebrew the same word, but it's also the same word as the covering, as a propitiation cover. You know, it is the same word as atonement, the same root word. As atonement. So, when you're building this ark, there shouldn't be any holes in it. You know, loopholes. You know about the loopholes? There are a lot of loopholes. And don't think just a little hole is okay. One whole year you're in the water with that little hole there, day by day, a little bit of water would come in. By the first month, you'll be filled with water in the first floor. So it has to be fully pitched, covered, fully reconciled with God. You know, the whole gospel there is not only about salvation, But after you're saved, you should be more and more be reconciled to God, atoned, to be fully one, so that there is no holes there. Just like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul was telling the church, the saints in Corinth, be reconciled to God, because there are still so many things in your life that are not reconciled to God. And in my life, there's a lot of holes. No holes. A lot of holes. Small holes or big holes? he dare not say whether it's small holes or big holes. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. Even if it's a small hole, you're in trouble. For the long run, you're in trouble. And that hole, if it's not pitched, you don't cover it, it's going to grow. It's going to be bigger. I have seen people, and even in our own selves there, if you realize there's a trouble in your life, you don't patch it with pitch. You just let it go. That hole is going to sink you. It's going to sink your ark. We were where? In the conference there in New York somewhere, right? And in the afternoon, some people went to the lake there to paddle. Huh? Right, you remember? And then somebody went into a boat with holes, I heard. Huh? A small hole. But would you go into the middle of that lake with a small hole?
They did.
They did.
They didn't realize until they got there.
They didn't realize. That's not good. But whether you realize or you don't realize, it's not good to be in a boat with a hole. So, you better patch it up. Be reconciled to God. Don't wait. Don't wait, because the longer you wait, the bigger the hole, and more water will come in. You have to picture yourself, because you're being baptized into Christ. That means that the whole world is already under judgment, believe me. It's not just the coming 3.5 years, but spiritually speaking, today the whole world is already under judgment. So if you have a hole there, that means that judgment will get to you. That's why it's not easy to talk about Noah's Ark. It's quite different than a children's story, right? This is not for small children here. We're not talking about children's story. Pitched inside and outside. Just the outside is not good enough. But inside and outside, praise the Lord. Sometimes it's just pitched outside, but not inside. This is not good. We need to have it pitched, covered, inside and outside. Praise the Lord. Remember this. Not just outside, but inside and outside. It's good for us to learn. And this is how you shall make it. Praise the Lord. I really like that. don't think that God will leave it to the imagination of Noah how to make that ark. No, this is how you should make it. Learn to build the church according to God's instructions. Sometimes I would rather do nothing than just to do something by my own ways and imagination. I would rather wait and says, Lord, well, you better tell me what to do. If you don't, then I don't do anything. Just like Moses. You know, Moses told God, if you don't go with us, and if you don't go before us, we are not going anywhere. We're going to stay here. I'm going to stay put. I'm not going anywhere. How about that? How about that? Are you like that? Or would you tell God, oh, God, praise the Lord. No, I know what to do. Where to go? You just stay here and we go. Take off. You just take off. Where are you going to go? And there were giants at that time. Today, the giants are even bigger. Principalities and powers, all the power of darkness there. You go by yourself? So learn. We all need to learn spiritual lessons. Don't just read the Bible and that's it. But we all need to learn like Noah did. Amen. So God didn't leave it to Noah and says, you just build it according to your ways. And no. And the Lord told him, the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. That's a very long ark. 300 cubits. If let's say one cubit equals 1 foot and 4 inches, or some says 1 foot and 8 inches, for example, let's say 20 inches, 300 cubits, how long is that? It's quite long. If I were Noah, I would say, what? God, my family is only 8 people. Why do we need such a big ark? It's with 50 cubits. My goodness. I told you already, I lived in a hotel for one night called the Noah's Ark. I wouldn't advise you to go there. And its height, 30 cubits. These wonderful numbers, 3 and 5, 350 and 30, these are all wonderful numbers, which we don't want to get in tonight. But you have to really see that everything is built according to God's measurement. You need to know this. If you don't build according to God's measurement, there is no assurance that your ark is not going to sink. And there may not be enough space for all the animals that God asked Noah to bring into the ark. And if you use any other kind of wood, it may not stand the weight. And you shall make how many windows? One. You mean to say such a big thing and only one window? You tell me, how many windows do you have in your house? Have you ever seen a house with only one window? Would you ever build a house with one window? So what would you do if God tells you to build such a big thing but only one window? Huh? And only one cubit square. About that. One window. Are you going to obey that? Huh? I don't think many of you would really agree with God. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above. And you put it above. I can't see anything there. At least you put it on the side so that I can peek out and see what's going on outside. Oh, where would you put a window? Put it on the top, you don't see anything. I've never seen a house with only windows on top and you don't see anything. Would you? Would you live in such a house? No, you wouldn't. But this is the way God wants it built. What are you going to do? Do you agree with it?
We have to.
You have to, exactly. You have to. Amen. And set the door of the ark in its side. One door on the side. And you shall make it with lower, second, and third deck. That's the way it goes. Praise the Lord. Well, in a sense, the building of the ark is simple. Simple in a sense that there's only one material, the gopher wood plus the pitch. Very simple. Salvation is very simple. For our salvation, if it is only salvation, you go from that coat all the way to enjoyment of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to learn to enjoy the humanity of the Lord. Because for God's building, the main problem in the church life is our fallen humanity. Right. Oh Lord Jesus, may the Lord open our eyes to see. Now, we still have some time. Let's go to the third point tonight. Otherwise, we won't finish. Oops, wrong page. The building of the tabernacle by Moses. Now we are in point number three. Not this Moses, but the Moses in the scriptures. The building of the tabernacle by Moses. The ark is for you, not for God. God doesn't need the ark. Okay? God is the one, he is the judge. He's going to judge this earth. He didn't need the ark. You and I, we all need the ark. We need salvation. And the ark is for us, 100%, for Noah, his family, and for the whole creation there. God is going to save and reconcile all things unto God. Right? So the ark is for our salvation mainly. But the building of the church is not just for your salvation. If it is just for your salvation, the ark is okay. It's good enough. And it's just for 1 year. Okay, you can stay in such a confinement for 1 year, not 1,000 years, that's not good. Okay? 1 year. But here, if you go on to Exodus chapter 25, now there is another building mentioned, a tabernacle. And this tabernacle is not for your salvation now, it is for God's dwelling place. Now let's read Exodus chapter 25. After they came out of Egypt, after God's people came out of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness in Mount Sinai, God spoke to Moses. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it," what? Say it willingly. Read it willingly. Please read it. "From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." Now here is a different story. For the building of the tabernacle, God will never force you. Although he has the right, but he will not force you. It's up to you. If you want to, that's fine. If you don't want to, God will never force you. No. No. If you love him, you will give willingly. He will never force you. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord never forced me to give myself for the building of his church. Did you? Did he ever force you? Did he force you? Have to, you must. You know, I heard so many times in the sharing in the church, you must, you should, you have to, you should do this, you should stand up and you should share and you should do this and you must do that. And goodness. You should read my books. And you should share what I share. And you should follow me. And you should do this. And you think it's going to work like that? Let me tell you, if it works like that, it's not God's house. It's not the tabernacle that God today, if you want to leave, who can stop you? Who can stop you? Nobody can stop you. Peter, who forced you to come to the church life? Your wife? And if I ask your wife, who forced you to come into the church life? Nobody forced you. But you were drawn by the Lord. Yes. You saw something. You touched something wonderful. The Lord opened your eyes. Something drew you into the church life. And that's why you're here. Not because somebody forced you. No, because somebody bribed you to come. Did George bribe you to come? And gave you $1,000 Canadian? If he did, then I'm sure you will not come. When Jesus was on this earth, did he ever force people to believe in him? Especially that rich young man. Wow, well, we got finally somebody who can support us. Rich young man. Wow. So we better try to convince him to stay with us, right? He's a rich young man. He's Bill Gates. He was Bill Gates of that time. He came to the Lord. And want to follow the Lord. The Lord says, yeah, 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 that's right. Come, follow me. You know what the Lord told him? Sell everything. And come follow me. He couldn't do it. when he left, the Lord didn't stop him. Would you stop him? The Lord did. So there is one wonderful principle here, a divine principle. Any offering you gave to the Lord for the building of his church must be done willingly, out of your heart. If you don't give it willingly to him, he will not take it. He will not take it. Several years ago, there in Stuttgart, somebody donated something and later on wanted to take it back. I told the brothers, give it back. I wasn't give it back. Why should a church keep something that people didn't want to give? And it is of the Lord, and our Lord doesn't want to keep anything that is not given willingly. So I told the brothers, give it back.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So here is really wonderful. And what kind of offering the Lord wanted for his building? Now here we need to see the spiritual meaning of all these words. Gold, silver, and bronze. These are precious metals. Gold definitely stands for God, because God is the most precious in this universe. Everything that has to do with this wonderful living God is golden. His living word in Psalm 19, it says, is more precious than what? Than much fine gold. Eh? Am I right? Have you sung that song? Many times more to be desired are they than gold. So even the living word of God is more precious than gold. And his divine nature, wonderful. We need much gold today. Did not, in the book of Revelation, the Lord told the church in Laodicea, you better buy gold refined by fire, come to me and buy. It's not the gold in the world today, but it's the heavenly gold that we are talking about. Now let me tell you or ask you, are you buying gold for the building up of his church, of the tabernacle? How many of you are buying gold? How much have you bought? Not so much yet. Why not? Huh? In the process. How long will the process take? One ounce a year? More? Much more. Well, praise the Lord. If we mean business in building the tabernacle, then you need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need more gold from you. How many of you have really come to the Lord and tell the Lord, for the sake of your building, for the sake of the church in New York, for the sake of the church in Toronto, Lord, I come to you to buy gold. I'm willing to lay down my soul life. I'm willing to deny myself. I'm willing to pay the price to gain gold for the building up of the church in Vancouver. Have you ever told him that? Seldom. To buy gold. We need gold. If not, how are you going to build a tabernacle? The first material mentioned here was gold. And then silver. How about silver? In the Bible, silver stands for redemption. The redemption silver. How much silver? how much salvation we enjoyed and experienced day by day. Much more, Paul said in Romans 5, shall we be saved by his life. Much more. How much more? I need to be saved. Day by day, I need to be saved. Just my mind, I need to be saved from my thinking. You know why we misunderstand people so much and why we get offended so often? And because, hey, we need salvation. My emotion, our brother was sharing concerning a new heart. Even to share God's word, if our mind is not saved and renewed, how are we going to share God's word to other people? We need salvation. We need silver. How much silver do we have? This is the kind of offering the Lord wants. The Lord wants gold and silver. Well, you may have the heart to offer something to the Lord, but you don't have it. What can I do? If I have a heart to help a poor man, but I don't have money, I just have the heart, I don't have the money to help, then it's not adequate. Mm-hmm. Many times we say, Lord, yes, I want to build a church. The Lord says, okay, give me the offerings of gold and silver. And you tell the Lord, Lord, I only have... Cardboard. I only have cardboard. The Lord will tell you, I'm sorry, I don't need that material for a building. I don't need that. So what are we going to do? And then bronze. You know, bronze in the Bible stands for, firstly, judgment. Mm-hmm. God's judgment. Are you willing to be judged by the Lord? Did not Peter says judgment begins where? In the house of God. And in the house of God, judgment begins with whom? With the leading one. You want to be a leading one? You want to be a responsible brother? Who wants to be an elder? If you're an elder, you're a responsible one, judgment begins with you. How about that, Sam? Amen? What are we going to do? Do we have bronze? Bronze is also used as weapons in the Bible. So if you're not fighting the battle, you don't need any weapons. You don't need any protection. Right. So how much bronze do we have? Blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Fine thread. Now, the building, gold and silver and bronze is a heavy material. But we also need, in a church like, very fine material. How about that? Blue. You know what a blue in the Bible stands for? What is the color blue? You look up in the sky. Blue sky, right? Heavenly. How much heavenly color do we have? I don't mean, you know, your blue jacket. A blue thread. Purple. What does purple stand for in the Bible? Kingship. Royalty. Royalty. The kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sang a lot, let him rule and reign within you. Lord, I give my heart to you to rule and reign within me. This is the purple color. How much purple color do you have? Scarlet thread. Praise the Lord. Here is again the redemptive work. The finer redemptive work. You know, many times we enjoy salvation in a rough way, in a general way. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I take your blood and then you're gone. Just like you're taking a shower, just walk in and walk out. You don't enjoy that shower. Just and that's it. The children taking showers. You know, children taking showers. Or if I tell Emmanuel to go wash your hands, in seconds he came out and he washed. I said, no, I can't be, your hands cannot be clean. And I said, go in again and wash it. And this time I'm going to inspect your hands. So it took a bit longer. So many times when we enjoy salvation, we just that's wow. Just in and out. You don't really dwell there to let the Lord deal with you. You don't tell the Lord, Lord, I don't want just to be cleansed, I want to be healed. Amen. I want to be saved. I don't want to do this again. Deal with me. Take it away from me. Cleanse me and heal me, so that I will not do it again. That's why you have a sin offering as well as a trespass offering in the Bible, in Leviticus. One, the trespass offering dealt with the deeds, and the sin offering deals with the root. 中国人怎么说啊? 剪草要除根, 要不然啊, 春风吹又生。 The Chinese says, if you want to get rid of the grass, you have to kill the root. Otherwise, it's going to grow again. So it is with a scarlet thread. And then we need fine linen. Wow. Praise the Lord. Fine linen. What are the fine linen? These are the righteous acts of the saints. The fine linen. Then we also need goat's hair. Goat's hair. This is for the outer. We need a skin for the outer protection there. Ram skin dyed red and badger skin strong for protection against the desert wind and sun. And, you know, this tabernacle is going to travel through 40 years in the desert. Can you imagine? Just like the ark is going to stay in the water for one whole year. And now this tabernacle is going to move from place to place for 40 years in the wilderness. The wind, the sun, the dust, the sand hitting on this tabernacle day by day. You think it's going to stand? No, in the church life here, inside it should be so fine. But outside, it should be really rough, and it can withstand all kinds of trials. Otherwise, just a little bit, somebody, a naughty boy, would come and poke on it, and then you had a big hole right there. What are you going to do? You can't stand even just a little bump, you already fall down, and everything is just collapse. So you need some strong, rough material there. Why, it's quite different than building the ark, huh? Do you need that materials? You think Noah's going to build a golden ark? Are you kidding me? No, inside is going to silver plate everything and cover it with gold there. It's not his palace, that ark. No, definitely not. But that tabernacle is going to be the dwelling place of the king of this wonderful Lord. God is going to dwell there. In the church life, within the church life, it should be so fine. Everything is so fine, beautiful. You can see something heavenly. Something kingly, so royal. You can see gold inside, silver, wonderful. You can see acacia wood overlaid with gold. Fine linen, you can see, is our building in the church life in Fountain Valley so fine? In process, I like to hear that. Praise the Lord. At least we are in process. This is really good. Otherwise, if everything is so rough and our relationship with each other is so rough, and oh goodness, well, at the end we're like a gang instead of we're a gang of believers. We'll be at each other's throat, dealing so roughly with one another. This is not good. In the church life, we should really have this fine, wonderful building. And of course, acacia wood, again, a special kind of wood, the humanity of the Lord. And then we need oil for the light. And of course, the anointing, spices for the sweet incense, and then precious stones, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and a breastplate. My, wonderful, beautiful, precious material. All kinds of material needed for the building of the tabernacle. Different than the ark. You need to be present in a different building than the ark. For your salvation, it's very simple. If it is just salvation, it is very simple, right, Sharon? Just go for wood with black pitch and pack inside out. We're done. One window, one door, three stories, that's it. But nobody would like to dwell there, you know. Would you like to live there? Would you like to live in the ark? Day in and day out, to live in the ark. I don't think you would like to live there. I wouldn't like to live in just an ark. But praise the Lord, you can see that a building progresses to a beautiful, fine tabernacle. And the way it's made, my, with cherubims there. And then the furniture is wonderful. And you have the beautiful ark. And a golden table there of wood overlaid with gold. And the golden lampstand, my, so wonderful there. You have such a wonderful, beautiful tabernacle that is more difficult to build. And you know, for that, it is not Noah. Noah is good for building of the ark, but it takes Moses, a very faithful man.
Amen.
Faithful in all of God's house, he was faithful. For the building of the church, we need faithful people. Otherwise, you'll be here today, and then you'll disappear for 3 weeks, and then you come again if you want to, and then if you have to do something here, all of a sudden you're gone again, and then would you please do this? Okay, I'll do it, and then you didn't, and then. At the end, nothing is done, or half done, and not done according to specs. The Lord says blue, you said why, I'll just use pink. I couldn't find any blue thread, so I'll just use black. Then you're not faithful. Moses was such a faithful man, a faithful servant. He did exactly everything according to what God has shown him in the mountains. That's why in Hebrews we can really see he became a type of Christ who is faithful over God's house. Today what we need are people, young and old, who are faithful. Not faithful to man, but faithful to God. You're faithful to God. Doesn't matter what people say, you do whatever God says, and that's it. You know, the Lord, while he was on this earth, were the people going to kill him, spit on him, want to oppose him, do so many things, he didn't care. And he wasn't mad, he was not angry, because he came to do God's will, he was faithful to God. So, no man, whether it's the chief priests or the Pharisees or Sadducees or any man, even his own brothers in the family, couldn't stop him. Even his own disciples. Even his mother in the flesh. Nobody could stop him. Even if they wanted to kill him, it's okay. He was faithful. He did everything that God told him to do. And it was the Father within him, and he did everything that was well-pleasing to God. What a wonderful person. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. He was so faithful even unto death on the cross. He didn't run away. He didn't say it's too hard. Although he had a choice. Don't think he didn't have a choice. Hebrews says he learned obedience. Yeah. What a man. This is the quality of a servant. Where do you see that? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Time is up. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read it together and then we can stop. Verse 1 and 2. Go.
Let man so consider us
as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found capable.
Faithful.
Faithful. You need to be faithful. You don't need to be capable, but you need to be faithful. Paul says, I did much more than all the other apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me. So you don't need to be so capable, Paul was not capable in himself, but, hey, he says it's the grace of God. But he is faithful. If you're not faithful, God cannot use you. Because you're going to mess up things. You're going to do things according to your concept. You're going to disappear. And you're going to do a lot of crazy things. At the end, God says, use gold, silver, and precious stones. You use wood, hay, and stubble. You remember the story of the three pigs? And a wolf. He's going to what? Puff, and out. Yes. And the house will fall. So, we all need to really see that Moses is a faithful man. People may not agree with me. I heard people say, no, Moses was a capable man. He was educated in the Pharaoh's house. And he learned all the tricks and trades. He was educated there. He must be a great person. Well, with all of his power and education and background, son of the daughter of Pharaoh, so to speak, all he can do is kill an Egyptian. Very capable. Killed an Egyptian. Great work for God to kill an Egyptian. And he has escaped. And that's what a capable man can do. And after he escaped, he ended up somewhere in the desert working as a shepherd for Jethro until he was 80 years of age. And when you're 80, you're useless. Then God came to him and says, "No, you go." Now you can go. You go and do something for me. And when this time Moses went, he did not use his own strength. He even told God, no, God, I am not the right person. Don't send me. You send Aaron, send somebody else, send Freddy. send somebody else. Don't send me. I'm old. I'm useless. I cannot speak anymore. But speak, he cannot speak. He learned all kinds of languages at that time. But praise the Lord. Nevertheless, you know the story. He went not with his own power, not with his Egyptian background, not with any position, not with political power. He went with the living God. Otherwise, do you think Moses was so capable to send the 10 plagues? He learned from Pharaoh the 10 plagues, from those tricks, tricky magicians from Egyptians. Who could send those 10 plagues? And a way to come out and be saved from the angel of death. Did he thought of the Passover lamb? No. Was that his thinking? No, God told. Then they left and they were before the Red Sea. Did Moses, with his power, open up the Red Sea? And then when he went to the other side, he closed it again with his own power? Who did it? And when they were complaining, nothing to eat, Moses brought to them manna from heaven. Who did it?
The living God.
And when they had nothing to drink, did Moses give them to drink?
No.
Who gave them to drink? Do you think Moses was so capable, just the rock and water came out. Was that from Moses?
No.
No. So what did Moses do? Nothing. Nothing. And etc., etc., etc. Praise the Lord. But one thing Moses was, he was faithful.
Amen.
To do everything God told him. Mm. The only time he was not faithful was at the very end, and it cost him the good land. So, don't try to be so capable. I have seen a lot of capable people who went into trouble and who made so much trouble. We don't need to be so capable, but we need to be faithful. God needs faithful people like Moses. Then the tabernacle can be built.
Amen.
Just like God needs people like Noah and Adam, who was willing to die. Praise the Lord. So tomorrow morning, or tomorrow evening, we can see that the building didn't stop with the tabernacle. Amen.
Amen.